The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Colossians 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Amen, amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk Collective. Welcome to the broadcast this evening. We thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, the 3rd of March, 2019. We pray, thank God for you. We thank you for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636. And those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen. So again, we thank you very much for joining us tonight. We're going to be discussing, continue our series and a series of words of encouragement and discussion on the godly man. Tonight we're going to talk about the godly man is the family shepherd, the godly man loves his wife, and the godly man takes care of himself. Again, we just wanted to give words of encouragement tonight to the brothers out there. As we, as men of God, live out our lives, as we live obedient to God's word, to be the husbands, fathers, and sons, and God has called us to be the purpose that he brought us into salvation, that we may be used by him to further his kingdom and show him glory. And we can be a light. I'm called to make disciples, we're called to reach the lost, we're called to minister to the sick, and fellowship is the body of Christ, will encourage one another in spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. Let me open up with prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation tonight. Father God, we say thank you, God. I thank you for everything, Lord God. I humbly come before you and say thank you. And Father, today, God, I want to pray for families, God. I want to pray for men. I want to pray for husbands and fathers who are struggling, oh God. Struggling in that role, oh God. Those husbands that are struggling, oh God, in their relationships, God. We're praying for healing and reconciliation today. We're praying for fathers today, oh God, as they continue to raise and mentor and disciple their children, oh God. They be brought up in the Word of God. They brought up to know who Jesus Christ is, God. And also, them to be fathers, to be connected with their children, their sons and their daughters, oh God, to show them love and compassion, Lord. And yet, God, teach them the right way to go, God. Teach them the difference between right and wrong. Give them morality, God. Give them an example, Lord God. Most of all, give them an example of what it means to live for God. So, Father, we ask you, oh God, to continue to touch the lives of your people. We pray for the sick, the shut-in, God, those in hospital beds this evening tonight, God, those in medical, under medical conditions, God, those who need healing in their bodies or healing in their minds and healing in their spirits. Strengthen them and touch them, God. And, Father, today we want to lift up the addict, God. No matter what they're addicted to, Lord God, the sin is, God, no matter what they've succumbed to in their flesh, Lord, we pray for a release and a breakthrough. Pray for redemption, God. We pray for a cleansing, oh God, that they would change and repent and turn away from those things that bound them up, oh God, and seek you for forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy. This is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, as you know, again, I just want to share with you for the brothers out there that Man Up 2019 is here. It's on the way. We are about 6 weeks out. It's on April the 27th, Saturday, April the 27th, 2019. We're going to get gathered together at the Brooklyn Park Library in Brooklyn, Maryland, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., a time of coming together in fellowship, encouragement, and just having a open and transparent and frank discussion about the things of God and the things that we're struggling with. And seek out the answers and solutions in the Word of God that we might change our lives. Because as men of God, the first thing we ought to do is to love God, glorify Him, and be obedient to His Word, and come under submission to the Word of God. You know, I learned a long time ago, if you want to know the will of God for your life, look to His Word. Look to His Word for His will for your life, and you'll see it. And then God will speak to you. He'll direct and guide your heart, because He seeks obedience more than sacrifice. So if you're obedient to His Word, obedient to the Holy Spirit, obedient to the leading as He speaks to your heart, you stand before Him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to just encourage the brothers out there. All right. Well, tonight we're going to touch on the godly man. We've touched on several things in the past. I'm going to give a quick review of some of the points that we touched on before in the godly man in previous broadcasts. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and click on the archive section. All the shows are saved there. You can listen to some of the previous broadcasts. We talked about a godly man trusting God, that he trusts God, that we believe God, we believe His Word. He trusts that God loves us, is watching over us, He's guiding and directing our steps. And He is protecting us and giving us a way of escape for all circumstances of life. And His Word is the answer we need. Point number two, a godly man knows His Word. We know the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God. And the Word of God is our blueprint for life. Any circumstance or situation we may go to, the answer is found in His Word. The third topic we touched on was the command of God prays fervently. That we're praying that God's will be done. We're praying that God will use us. We're not coming to God with a list of things. But we're praying and say, "God, what would you have me to do?" I'm sorry, that's what it is. What are we praying? As we mature in Christ, do our prayers change from "give me, give me, give me" to "Lord, what shall I do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, use me." And are we coming to Him with a clean heart? Are we coming with the right mindset, basically? Are we praying, and when we pray, do we trust that He's going to answer? Are we prayed, and are we confessed our sins and asked for forgiveness for the sins we've committed specifically? Are we coming to with clean hands and a clean heart? Amen? Also, forgiving others. in our prayer time? Have we forgiven others, our spouse, our children, our coworkers, our families? Or are we coming to him with a heart of unforgiveness and yet asking him to do something for us? And then are we asking God to protect us and help us and temper us and shape and mold us? God, make me the man you want me to be. Use me as you see fit. A godly man builds relationships. You know, we talked about having who's in our circle of influence, who we're listening to, who we're hanging with. And also, are we reaching out? Are we expanding our circle of influence, our circle of friends? Are we stretching ourselves? And when's the last time we made a new friend, you know, connected with someone, connected with another brother recently, within the last 2 years, the last 6 months? Are we showing ourselves friendly in the ministries, in our local congregations? Are we getting to know people as people come into the ministry? Are we getting to know them? Who are we fellowshipping with? You know, how many new believers are we connected with to be able to mentor and guide and be an example to them? Are we building relationships? As a mentor, a mentee, a discipler, are we making disciples? Is God using us to disciple someone to help them grow in their spiritual walk? Amen. The fifth one we talked about is serving others. Do we have a heart to serve? Are we committed to the Lord and do whatever he wants in his plans? Are we committed to serve? Are we serving our local ministries, our local churches? How is God using you? Are you making yourself available for God to use you? Are you seeking to help others, to serve others, to do something where you can get nothing in return, no recognition, no pat on the back, no monetary compensation? But are you just trying to let God use you in the lives of people to make a difference? You'd be surprised. The smallest thing we do can make a big difference. And the small things we do can make a big difference in people's lives. So, again, those are some of the topics we touched on in previous broadcasts. Again, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFoy, you can listen there for the archives of our past shows. And always, we're here again at Issues Christian Men Talk at Monday nights at 8 p.m., Thursday nights at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and just giving a word of encouragement as men lead, as husbands and fathers and sons, lead in the family, lead in the church, and lead in the community. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to touch on a couple here. I just want to encourage you again. We're going to come up with some details here real soon about, I'm going to share again later in the broadcast if you didn't have a pen or paper. But, you can always reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. That's Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can reach out to us there. We have posted all kinds of men's events are coming up here in the springtime. We have first Friday night fellowships. We have first Saturday men's breakfasts. We have regular weekly Bible studies, quarterly meetings. There's a lot going on for a lot of places, no matter where you are. Here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area, we have several ministries who have ongoing and thriving men's ministries, gatherings, and times we come together in fellowship and to study and to discuss and to encourage one another. So if you go on the Facebook page, you always see there where you post it. And if you have an event coming up at your local, at your church, please share it with us on Facebook, send it to us, or send it on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, and we'll be glad to post it. Amen. So tonight we're going to begin with a godly man is his family's shepherd. And this is a lot. We as men, we're called to lead in the home. We're called to lead in the home, to be the spiritual leader, the servant leader in our homes. And that means a lot to some people, because a lot of brothers, a lot of women, a lot of brothers, a lot of folk have been raised without a male, strong male, positive role models in their family or in their home. We have some, you know, have been raised by single mothers and don't know what it is to have a man in the home, actually in the home as a father and leading. So that's what we have to search the Word of God for, to be able to be that kind of man and be the father that God wants me to. I want to touch on a couple of scriptures, because when we talk about being the best ways that we can be disciple maker for our kids, is to spend time with them and to know what quality time means and when quality time happens. You know, let me just say this. You know, we have a lot of times as parents, we put our children into a lot of outside activities, extracurricular activities for a lot of different reasons. But how much time are we actually spending one-on-one with our children? Are we getting away with them? Are we spending some time talking to them, listening to them, just sharing them and making them the most important person? This week, let me ask you this, fathers. This is how we can judge ourselves. Again, let me say this too. I don't want to come off as being a perfect father or God, our Father got it right all the time. You know, one of the things that we look back on, and I know several men of my generation, we look back on that we didn't do more spiritually with our children, that sometimes we turn it over to the youth ministry in the church or youth pastors or whatever, and we needed to be able to spend more time with them. So I encourage any young husband out there, young father out there, well, husband also, spend time in spiritual growth and be concerned about and sow into the spiritual growth of your family, of your wife, and of your children. The church has a place, but it all should start at home. The church should support the home spiritually, not the home supporting the church. Every revelation, everything of God should not necessarily come from the body. We should come to the church and be on one accord with the body. That's how we teach our children not to be consumers of the things of God in the church, but also be participants and producers and being able and ready to serve. Amen. The foundation is at home. So what kind of quality time are we spending as fathers, being the shepherd? You know, are you being the shepherd? Are you being the, whatever you used to call it, another pastor called it one time in the teaching, are we the thermostat in our home? Do we set the temperature, the spiritual temperature? Do we set the temperature in our homes with all things, in finances, in the time we spend together? Are we regulating TV time and game time? And again, are we shepherding? Are we paying attention? I just keep it that way, keep it simple. Are you paying attention to what's going on in your home between your wife and your children as a man of God, as a godly man? Let me real quick, I want to give a scripture here. I'm going to talk about, go to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 4. It's Ephesians 6, verse 4. In this whole chapter, it talks about the family structure and gives a guideline, but I'm going to go straight to verse number 4, and it says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, if as men of God, we know what Christ has done for us, for our salvation. We know what we came through. We know what we've been through. We know what God has delivered us from. We know what God keeps us from. But do your children know that the same God that you serve, the same God that said saved you, set you free, cleaned you up, redeemed you, is the same God that they can do the same thing for them? And then also, God has specific guidelines and commandments that we should obey at a young age, because sin is coming. There's different levels of sin, there's different levels of accountability, but are you ministering to your children to know that you're leading them not into wrath? And that's what it talks about. We talk about the admonition and the nurturing of the Lord. Do they know Jesus for themselves? At whatever the age is of understanding, whatever that age may be, you know, in the Old Testament times, children at 13-year-olds were bar mitzvahed, and they became, you know, they became part of the church. They became responsible for knowing the things of God. Here in the New Testament, the age could be anywhere, but are we as fathers setting the standard? Do we know where our children are spiritually? Even if your children is a prodigal, even if your child has chosen different paths, because again, once they come to an age of accountability, they come to age of maturity, when they're responsible for their own salvation and what they believe and how they're going to live and the choices they make. But have you sowed a seed? Have you planted a seed? Do they know who Christ is? Do they know what the Word of God says? And that God has a plan for their life and who they are and what they were created to do. And then they may have to struggle with that choice or as they grow and mature and have to engage the world on the world's terms on their own. Stand flat-footed as an adult. Amen. But are we nurturing them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? From the simple things. Do they know who Christ is? Do they know the Word of God? So as shepherds of the house, are we fulfilling that role? And again, I just want to say, you know, it can be hard. There's a lot of outside influences that we have to deal with as fathers, for our sons and our daughters. There's things that we have to deal with in the schools. But are we just knowing where our children are and knowing what their struggles are and what the things they're trying to overcome and their influences and the choices? Are we engaged? As basic as that, are we engaged parents? Are we engaged fathers? We'll just leave it at that. And then we're going to move now. We're going to talk about our wives, because if we're the family shepherd, our wives come under that. And let me say this, because of the culture and the circumstances and situations some of us find ourselves in, the mother of our children, are we ministering? Are we being as helpful as we can? Are we being a hindrance? Are we doing the best we can just because our relationship is falling apart? Or we still have a concern that we have a relationship because we have the children that you both are responsible for? Divorce, separation, or never married does not relieve you of your responsibility as a father and also responsibility to the mother of your children. You know, we're accountable. God's going to hold you accountable. So are you doing what you can do to the best of your ability through sacrifice? Because I think a lot of it is about sacrifice. And real sacrifice means that you're not seeking anything in return, that you're doing sacrificial love. Let me just say that. For my brothers out there, my churchgoers, and my theologians, let's study what it means to be sacrificial in our love and overall committed to our children, regardless of what our relationship is with their mother. Again, I'll leave that right there because these are the things that we talk about at our man-up events and our gatherings. Because, again, some brothers struggle with it, and there's no real big guidance given to them to help them. So, first of all, you have to recognize, just like anything else, you have to recognize our sin and want to repent and want to do different. And then we have to be open to receive correction, guidance, direction, and discipling and mentoring in that area that we might do better. Because, again, these are lives that are depending on us as husbands and fathers. They are lives, natural, spiritual lives that are depending on us. And are we up to the task? And are we being obedient to the word? And we're using all available resources to be able to stand before God that we might be judged for our relationship and how we treated those that God has put under our care and under our authority. Because that's where he's going to come to us. Those that were put under our care and authority and how we treated them. It doesn't matter some of the other things you might want to do and be and all of these things. These great successes or these worldly successes. But remember, God is not going to look at that. He's going to look at the things that we hold accountable for as men that's in his word. Let me go to Colossians. Again, I'm going to go to Colossians, and I'm going to go to Colossians chapter number 3. And I'm going to start reading from 18. Colossians 3 and 18. It talks about wives, but we're going to begin there because, again, the family unit. Wives, submit to your own husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Excuse me. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. We are called as fathers to encourage and not discourage, even when they make wrong mistakes, wrong choices, bad choices. We encourage them to get up. When they fall, they fail, we encourage them to continue on and not get up, not stay and wallow in their sin, and their disobedience, and even if they make the wrong choices and mistakes and suffer the consequences, we're still there to be able to shepherd them through the consequences on the other side, because there's always redemption, there's always a path back, there's always a way to get up on your feet and start again. But the thing is, as fathers, are we encouraging them not to give up, to continue to press, even in the midst of, from the littlest things to an F on a test to addiction to drug to addictions to jail time to arrest to whatever it is, are we encouraging our children? And this also is a thing as fathers. Fatherhood is a lifetime commitment until you die or they die. And are we in a place where we're ministering and we're connecting with them in a way where we can speak into their lives, and no matter how old they are, that we can always be an encouragement, we can always be their support system to give wisdom, knowledge, direction, and guidance at all ages. Because remember, a 6-year-old is not a 16-year-old, and a 16-year-old is not a 26-year-old, and a 26-year-old is not a 40-year-old. But we will be their fathers no matter what. And are we in a place where we are showing wisdom and being transparent and trying to help them through and try to keep them from some things and also help them through some things? Amen. Amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, for those of you who called in at 646-668-2636, if you press one on your keypad, you can join the conversation and be part of what we're talking about tonight. Again, we're touching on a few things here. I just wanted to encourage the brothers. We're talking about being a family shepherd and loving our wives. And the final point we're going to talk about tonight is taking care of yourself, taking care of yourself. Now, this is a biggie, because as men, some of us, we don't go to doctors. We're going to talk about the physical right now, because I know men who work. They don't take care of themselves. They don't get physicals. They don't do the medical exams. I'm older now. I'm in my mid-50s, so the things that I worry about now, I didn't worry about when I was 20. So all my 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, there's some stuff that you need that you can take care of yourself now. Because if you are blessed to live a long age, some of the things you're doing right now will have negative effects on you when you get older, because your body won't respond, your body won't heal as fast, your body just acts different as you get older. But again, we're talking about the physical. So I'm talking about taking physicals, doing blood work, blood checks, blood pressure, sugar levels, diabetes, cholesterol, weight, exercise, cardio, all these things are important to take care of your physical self, that your physical body can be taken care of, that you know what's going on. And if you have, and if you've been diagnosed with some things, there's some things you can do to reverse that. I can testify to that. I can testify to a turnaround from diabetes and high blood pressure and some other ailments, but it's what you have to want to do better. Are you taking care of yourself? Are you making your doctor's visits? Are you getting your physicals? So there's a track record. And I say that to young men too, because there has to be a baseline. Because when you're feeling your best and you're at your best in your 30s, your late 20s, your 30s, mid-30s, so you need that baseline so you can track when things start going wrong and things start acting right and things start feeling different and things start working. So then you have that baseline that you have a regular, taking regular annual physical. It's all it is. One day, get the physical, get everything done. There's a record of it. And I just want to encourage you there that. And then for my older brothers, there's some things, some tests that need to be done as we get older, just to check things. There's colonoscopies, there's blood tests, there's cardio, heart scans, and a lot of things that we just have to start to keep track of to make sure to catch anything that's going on in our bodies and catch it early so it can be taken care of. Amen? So that's the physical. Now the spiritual. Are we continuing to grow? Have you become stagnant in your spiritual walk? Have you become stagnant in your Bible study, in your devotional time, in your study of the God's Word, meditating on God's Word? What are you doing to grow spiritually? Are you in the same spiritual place you was this time last year? And I don't mean about, you know, you might be a deacon or elder or pastor and seeking advancement of men and titles. I'm talking about, are you growing spiritually in understanding of the Word of God and applying and being more obedient to the Word of God? Are you spiritually mature enough to be able to shepherd and lead your family and teach your children and teach your wife? Are you studying and reading with your wife? Do you know where your wife is spiritually, what she's reading and studying? You know, and praying and your prayer life. Where's your prayer life? Where's your prayer life the same it was 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 year ago? So these are the things we have to look at. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to grow physically and spiritually, emotionally. And we talked earlier in one of the previous broadcasts, we talked about our relationships and our circle of influence. Who's in your circle? There's some people who may need to be out your circle just because they're spiritually whatever. They could be, you know, that doesn't mean they're in your circle. Sometimes people are in your circle and connect to you for a season. People move in and out your circle. Sometimes God brings people into your life for a specific purpose and task and take season or ministry, but then they move out, and then you have other people come in. Are you in a place where you have a Timothy in your life or a Barnabas in your life? Who are you mentoring and discipling? Who are you sowing into? Who are you encouraging along to grow in their faith? Who are you to help them grow to the next level spiritually or in service? Are you a good example for serving in your local body, your local congregation? I always tell men to get to a point where you ask your pastor, what does he need you to do? Does he need help? And hopefully, if he's your pastor, he knows you. He knows your gifts, abilities. He knows your faults and failures. And he knows what he can trust you with and what he can't. But trust me, to do a ministry, to run a ministry, is needed. We need men. We need men to step up. I always take the example because of every church I go to, I can always throw this example out there and ask why. Why are the women running the children's ministry? Or Are there only women in the children ministry? Are there no men teaching the youth? My other thing is there a men's ministry that's growing and discipling men? Are we on purpose seeking men? When men come to the sanctuary, come to the services, come to the fellowships, do we have other men who on purpose are greeting them, reaching out, discipling? Because you never know what a man is going through or why he's in the church. Men come to church, come to churches for a lot of different reasons. But when they get there, does it smell masculine in the sanctuary when men come? Or is it a feminine atmosphere, which can turn off a lot of unbelieving men off, and even some believing men? Because if it's just too much, it's too whatever. Let me say this. Sometimes I get in trouble, but is your church man, guy, friendly? Is it man friendly in your church? And if you're there, is it a place where other men will be attracted to want to come and be part of? And what are you doing to help facilitate that? Again, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, I thank all those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Again, if you want to share your comment, add a question or anything, press one on your keypad. I can bring you in. For those of you listening on www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconFarr, Thomas Farr, thank you for joining us tonight and listening in. Appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Again, so tonight I will leave you with that thought. And I just wanted to share something real quick with the brothers out there as an encouraging thing, that we are, as men of God, we're called to lead in our homes, in the churches, and in communities. It's important that we get into a place in obedience, that we're living lives that are pleasing to God, that we're setting examples for the generations to come, that we are living up and being the men that God has called us to be. Amen. I just wanted to share something real quick that I've read, that I've been reading as a word of encouragement before we go tonight. Wait a minute, I can't find it. Just lost it. Somebody took my paperwork. All right. Well, let's do this. I'm going to close out in prayer and continue on. Again, this has been Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men Talk. I encourage you to join us again every Thursday night at 8 p.m., every Monday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. This Saturday, we will be live this Saturday again, and I encourage you to join us and be part of it. Again, a Man Up event is coming on Saturday, April 27th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can go on our Facebook page. You'll see the link for PayPal is coming up. We're asking for a $20 donation to cover the food, the lunch is provided, and also for the resource and materials that you're receiving. We always send brothers home with toolboxes and resources for your devotional time, for your devotion time with your wife and your children, and resources that help you grow spiritually in your quiet time. Amen? Amen. So again, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And continue to believe God, trust God, and know that God loves you. Amen.